Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul. Here we are on the 22nd of Iyar, the 20th of May. I hope that you're well and you're healthy and we could Verbringen together. Thank God. I think this show's been going for, 11 years, 12 years? I'm not actually sure how long. In different formats and different topics. And some of you have been with us on quite a journey. That's 12 years. Hopefully something I've said over the 12 years resonated. I'm sure I said a lot of rubbish as well, but apologies. We always try. And really what the Verbringen show is to really show up to, as much as possible, where we're at and bring the timeless wisdom of Torah and Yiddishkeit into the modern world that we are today. So I want to talk about a topic. I haven't really explored it much on this show, but it's something that often comes to mind. And I'm thinking about different ways of approaching it. But I think one of the ways to the way we'll do it is every single decision we make has a benefit and a cost. There's a price for everything that every decision we make. Now, sometimes the price is worth it, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes you only see if it was worth it in hindsight. But often in this world, we think that we can make a decision which will have 100% benefits and no consequences. So an example, which is not the topic of our conversation at all today, but for example, immigration. So someone will sit there saying, okay, I want to move to so-and-so country because they have certain things that we don't have. Great, very valid point. But what don't they have that you have here? Rarely do people consider that. And often only once they move overseas do they suddenly realize, oh, yes, maybe I got a little more safety, or I got a better economic situation sometimes, but I lost out. I lost out on so many of the privileges and so many of the opportunities and so many of the blessings of living in my former place. But often, when someone thinks, okay, I'm going to move to, I don't know, Australia, Israel, London, they're only focusing on what that place offers that their current locale doesn't. But that's a very unfair way of looking at it, because fundamentally, yes, there are benefits, but there are also huge costs. And are you looking with your eyes wide open on both sides of the equation? So that's in immigration. But the truth is, it's in every area. And one of the areas that I think it plays out specifically for those of us choosing to live here in South Africa is this tension that exists between safety and independence. Now, let me explain what I mean and why I think it's important to talk about on the Verbringen show. So let's not talk about South Africa for a moment. Let's talk about the world. One of the big questions that every government around the world presents to its people when it asks them to vote for them is, do you prefer to be taken care of, or do you prefer to be taking care of yourself, the freedom to chart your own course, which also is risky? See, if I take care of you, I, the government, then fundamentally, I'm your mentor, I'm your savior, I am extremely powerful. I will supply you with what you need, at least at the beginning. But in order to do that, you're going to give me some of your freedom, because fundamentally, I'm going to become more and more powerful. And as more and more powerful I become, I'll be making more decisions for you. I'll be controlling your life more because you wanted to be taken care of, right? A parent who takes care of their two-year-old basically controls 99% of the kid's decisions. The only decision the kid can make is, are they going to play with the red toy or the pink toy or the blue toy? But other than that, pretty much all the decisions are made by the parent. And as the child starts maturing, then you start developing that tension because you want the kid to be independent, but that also means less control. Fundamentally, here's the principle, and I don't think it's really intellectually debatable, but I don't think it's often clarified. In this world, you cannot have freedom and feeling safe at the same time. In other words, you can't be fully taken care of and controlled and free at the same time. So any government that proposes to you and says, I want to take care of you, you pretty much know that you're moving closer and closer to a dictatorship. The moment I say you're on your own, if I go extreme in the other example, that means extreme freedom, but no one's going to take care of you if you fall, etc. That has its risks as well. But my point is not, at this stage, is not really to advocate for one or the other, safety or being taken care of, but to present the case that you can't have both. And North Korea is an interesting example. North Korea is the world's biggest dictatorship, the whole new level, for close to 8 decades, and they lock everybody, people out, etc. Now, you would think that nobody in the world would want to move to North Korea. But I remember reading an article a few years back where it showed that every year, thousands of letters arrive in North Korea from people around the world who say, please let me join. I believe North Korea says no to 99% of them. But people are asking. They know that North Korea is 100% a dictatorship. They know, at least most of them know exactly what goes on over there. But North Korea comes and says, we will take away all your freedom, but we'll take care of you. It's rubbish because most of the people that live in the countryside outside the main city of Pyongyang don't exactly get taken care of. They just starve to death. But somehow, you know, North Korea has developed a story that says, if you give us your freedom, we'll take care of you. So the human being is always living with a tension. Do I want to have the free choice to choose the life I want to live? Or do I want to give my choice away for somebody who will take care of me? And it's a very, very difficult choice. Many of us who maybe grew up in democracies will say, of course, people will choose freedom. But as I hope to unpack over this Fabringen, it's not so simple. A lot of us in our own lives, the way we run our own lives, the way we're raising our kids, we're choosing safety and control and comfort over freedom. Because feeling safe often becomes the greatest ethos of our life. Think about what happened during COVID. You could have your conspiracies of COVID. You could believe 100% to everything that happened by the government was 100% kosher and beautiful. I'm not even going there, and I'll be honest, it's not for a rabbi to start talking about medical things. At least I don't believe it is. But here's what we could all agree. We gave away a tremendous amount of agency on our own lives to the government, who literally could decide for us when we could walk out of our own house. I remember, and I'll never forget, a few months into the first wave when they finally allowed us to walk out for 1 hour a day. And the whole town came out at 9 a.m., I believe, either 9 or 10 a.m., and had that walk around the block. We literally said, because we want to be safe, because we don't want COVID to kill us. And again, I'm not going into the conspiracies, I'm not even going to the politics or the medical thing, how dangerous COVID was or wasn't. I'm not going there. But fundamentally, we wanted to be safe. And the government, not only here in South Africa, but across the world, came and said, okay, you want to be safe. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to give all power over your own decision-making. You won't decide. You can't decide if you're going to walk the streets. We'll decide if you can walk the streets. And for me, that was a very stark example. A very stark point that proves that most human beings will rather be taken care of and safe than be free. That freedom is a luxury. Freedom to choose our own life. Freedom to serve the faith that we want. Freedom to make medical decisions on our own. Most people, not all, most people will hand it over as long as the person in power can give us safety. So the question you have to ask yourself is that a fair exchange? And is being safe the highest ethos of all, that I should be willing to sacrifice everything for that cause? Or is finding my own way in this world, obviously with the values of Torah and the values that we grew up in, but finding my own way in this world and being able to take control over my life and make decisions on my life, should that not be the biggest ethos? And if it is, what consequences does it have in the decision-making of how I raise my family, in how I live, where I live, what I do? I want to continue exploring that theme, but there's no way to explore a story like that without some nice music. And I specifically chose the following song. If I am I and you are you, then who am I? Then if I am I because you are you and you are you because I am I, then I'm not I and you're not you. You'll hear it. It's a tongue twister, but it presents a very powerful point that I prefer to unpack, would like to unpack after this song. This is Avram Fried, If I Am I.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
So this is Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson. You were just listening to the a cappella version of If I Am I, because you are you, and you are you because I am I, and I'm not I, and you're not you. That's fundamentally one of the big journeys in life, is finding ourselves in this world, not in a selfish way, but finding what God put us into this world and what role we have to play. And the reason I chose that song is because the theme that I'm trying to explore today is that huge exchange that most people don't realize that they have to make between control and feeling safe and comfortable and freedom. And this tension goes back to the beginning of the Jewish people. When the Jewish people leave Egypt, right now we're between Pesach and Shavuot, right, the 7 weeks after the Jewish people left Egypt until they arrive at the giving of the Torah and they receive the Torah at Sinai. That's their tension. They're always like, take us back to Egypt, take us back to slavery. It was predictable. It was miserable, but it was predictable. We knew what was going on. We knew what our day looks like. Now we're in the desert. We don't know if manna is going to fall from heaven every day. We don't feel that security. We don't feel that sense of calm, right? We're now more independent, and we're now, no one is controlling us and giving us that sense of safety that ironically they had in slavery. And that tension has been there since the beginning of us as a nation. How do you develop a free person who chooses the ability to make their own choices, even if it's less comfortable? Now, why am I giving this example? Because I often find that here in South Africa, in the last, I would say, since the independence, since the last 20, 30 years, with all the changes in the climate, a lot of them positive and a lot of them challenging. Obviously, for some people, they feel that these days it's less safe than maybe when they were growing up as children. And at some stage, there became this shift away from, you know, the story that everyone says when they were growing up 30, 40 years ago, whatever, we could ride our bikes, go wherever we want, independence. And at some stage, we're like, no, our kids can no longer be independent. They need to be escorted everywhere. They need to be, their lives need to be 100% controlled. And whenever you talk to these people, I've noticed, because I brought this up countless times, it's very triggering. Because right away, people start going into the defense mode. They're saying, but it's not safe. Now, how unsafe is it? We could get into a debate and we could talk about it, the objective, how risky is it to actually walk down the street? Everyone goes and jogs, and I almost heard of no story where it ended badly. But again, I don't want to go down that point. My point is that when you choose to take away your child's independence for the sake of 100% safety, which by the way doesn't exist, but let's say close to 100%, there is a huge cost. And I feel that as a community, not every individual, but as a community, the narrative has been over the last few decades, we prefer to have 100% safety, even if it means that very little independence. And today, when you talk to moms and you're like, are you okay with the 23-year-old, 25-year-old still living at home? And they're often their answer will be, am I okay? This is a dream. And for most of history, it wasn't a dream that your 25-year-old is living at home. For most of history, your 25-year-old was married with a kid already, or at least figuring out their life. And my argument strongly is that that wasn't a bad thing. Because at some stage, a person has to go out into the world. At some stage, a person has to be able to make decisions. And by pushing off that stage of life for our kids to make their own decisions, what's happening is we're pushing off their maturity. And is that a worthy cost? Do I prefer my kids to be 100% safe but no control over their life? Or do I figure out this balance, which again, everything has an exchange. There's no 100% safe and 100% independence. That doesn't exist. But how much of a value is it for me that my kid develops their own wings to fly? And unfortunately, I'm finding more and more parents that have not bought into that value. They don't see it as a necessity to raise independent kids. It's almost like they want their kid to be needy. I want my kid to still want my meals, and I want my kid to still come home, and I want to, you know, arrange the washing for my kid, and I want my kid to still, 10 years after they're married, still come to me every single Friday night. And honestly, I find that, again, we could discuss it. We could, would love to hear your thoughts. Next time I'm in Moishis, feel free to approach. I think I have a big issue with that. I remember inviting somebody to come to my Friday night meal a few years ago. And their argument was, and this is a couple that was married at that stage, 20 years already, Rabbi, every single week, either we go to the wife's parents or the husband's parents. And we have this routine going for 20 years straight. And if we break protocol, it's going to cause chaos. So we prefer to turn down your invitation. Now, if you don't want to come to the rabbi's house, that's a totally legitimate thing. It doesn't work for us. That's fine. But if 20 years after your marriage, you can't skip a Friday night meal and break the routine between your parents and his parents or her parents because you're afraid of chaos, that is extremely controlling. When a couple cannot decide 20 years in their marriage where they're going to have their Pesach Seder or where they're going to have their Friday night dinner or where they're going to go on holiday and all they have to do is bounce it off the rest of the family, that's not a close family. That's a enmeshed family. That's a family without boundaries. That's a family that does not respect independence. And you know what almost inevitably happens a few years down the line? A huge fight. Almost every time you talk to a person and you ask them, why is the family fighting? They'll always start with a story that goes something like this. We used to be so close. Rabbi, I'm telling you, we used to be the closest family. And by now I've heard that story so many times that I believe that that's where the problem is. Like in Yiddish to say, Adol Lake Der Hund. That's where the dead dog is lying. We found it. You were too close. And then there was no boundaries and there was no independence and you didn't let each other fly. You were holding each other back until one person or two people just decided, I can't do this anymore. And they had a very cold break, which caused a lot of chaos and a lot of pain, which was totally unnecessary because they didn't have to get that stage if they actually had boundaries from the beginning. If I allowed people to find themselves. A close family does not mean that everyone is sacrificing their own journey for the sake of the good. A close family is where everyone's sacrificing a bit. You're not having a bunch of selfish, self-absorbed people, but you're also allowing people to find their own journey. And if they don't want to join the family business, fine, let them go on their own journey. I remember talking to a relative of mine who's all the children are working in the family business. It's not local, it's just somewhere overseas. And this relative of mine told me that she wishes that it was a different reality. Because all her children, instead of finding their own place in this world, they're sacrificing their individuality and they're sacrificing their own economic potential, individuality potential, flourishing for the sake of, you know, being safe in dad's business. Because again, it goes back to where we started this topic. And I really believe it to be a very important thought experiment. And you don't have to agree with anything I say, but I think it's still worthy of accepting the premise that in this world, you're either safe or you're free. You could be free and relatively safe, but not 100% safe. Because if you're choosing safety over freedom, you will inevitably give away the power of your own decision-making, just like we did in COVID, for somebody else to guarantee you safety. And that's how all dictatorships do it. And all semi-dictatorships and all, you know, governments out there that are moving slowly away from democracy, right? What, how did they convince people to go to socialism? How did Venezuela go from being the breadbasket of South America to become an absolute nightmare? Because that's what socialism does. Socialism comes and says, rely on the government. We'll take care of you. Give back your power. No, we'll commercialize everything. We'll take everything back into the government because the big brother of the government, we know what we're doing. We're not corrupt. We'll take care of you. We have your best interests at heart. Genius. It's unbelievable that people still fall into these ideas of communism and socialism, really believing that government will actually save you. Ridiculous. We save us. But in order for we to save us ourselves, our communities, our families, then we all have to take incredible agency. And taking agency is painful. So therefore, it's much easier to sit there saying, forget about control, forget about my independence, forget about being able to walk the streets myself. I rather just hand it over to a power outside of me. And here's where it becomes even more interesting. When a person brings God into their life, which seemingly is like bringing a government, it's so not. When you bring Hashem into your life, that gives you the biggest potential for freedom because then you develop the confidence. You have the being to rely on to live your own life. As countries move away from God, more and more democracies are falling, and more people are moving towards dictatorships and socialism and communist ideas. That's the irony. That's why communism, when it started both in China and Russia and other places, one of the first things they went against is God. My own relatives, my great uncles, my mother's uncles were shot and killed just for being religious Jews. This is before the Holocaust. This is in the late 30s in Russia, because Russia knew that if people are observant, if people believe in God, then they'll never believe in the government. So ironically, the biggest threat to a dictatorship is people that believe in God. That's why China has big issues with religion, etc. Because I have to be your provider. You have to look totally to me. I'm your control. I tell you what to think. I tell you what to feel. The moment the person has God, they become free, which is often ironic, because people sit there saying, oh, religious people, if you believe in God, you don't have free thought. On the contrary, you have such a strong backbone. You have something to fall back on that gives you so much freedom to actually explore yourself. So with that in mind, here's a song. We're still in that cappella stage. By next week, I think we're moving outside of a cappella once we Rosh Chodesh Sivan. But for now, we're still with a cappella. But don't worry, we won't compromise the quality of music. It's a magnificent song called I Need You Now on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
I hope you enjoyed that quick interlude. This is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul. I Need You Now. As mentioned before the break, the greatest threat for a dictatorship is people that believe in a transcendent God, because that gives them freedom. And that's why it's often mind-boggling when people say, oh, rash rabbi, if you believe in God, you don't have freedom. On the contrary, when you have something deeper than your own emotions to rely on, it gives you the confidence and gives you the ability to actually fly, to actually soar and make courageous decisions. Courage comes when you know that you could fall back on something. And that's something that often we don't think about. So back to where we started this conversation, we're talking about the exchange. Everybody has to make an exchange in this world between how comfortable I am and how independent I am, right? It's very comfortable to watch Netflix and eat ice cream all day and chips and junk food, but I'm destroying myself. Usually what's comfortable gets in the way of our growth. Not always. Sometimes you could grow comfortably, right? You could exercise in comfortable pants. But fundamentally, stretching oneself, stretching one's character, becoming a better version of ourselves is not comfortable. So my question is, why do we crave, as a culture, we celebrate comfort so much? Which holiday did you go to? Which car do you drive? We're controlling each other, right, on Life 360, knowing exactly where our 40-year-old kid is driving and where everyone is, and kids are controlling their parents, and parents are controlling their kids, and we're just, because we just need to be safe. We need to be safe. Yes, you need to be safe, but at what cost? At what cost? That's the real conversation that we're not asking. Everything has a cost. And I really believe that's one of the big decisions that we have to make, especially here in our community, is yes, we have to be cautious, and we're protecting, and, you know, a wall around the house, and electric fencing if possible, and we try to do the right thing to stay safe. But how far am I willing to go to make sure that nobody even scratches their nose and nothing terrible happens, if it means that at the same time they're not developing themselves, they're not being able to make decisions and being able to make mistakes and trip and learn? The only way a person develops themselves is when they could fall. You often find it with people who are, let's say, second generation wealth. Not all, but often you meet them and they don't have much of a story to tell. They're actually quite boring. Not all. I've met some very interesting, but quite often they're quite boring. Why? Because they don't have a story, you know? I never had to struggle a day of my life. Dad took me straight into the business. And whenever I failed, you know, mom or dad bailed me out, etc. So imagine I never have to pay for the consequences of my decisions. First of all, there's no story to tell, but also there's no character building. Character building is that if I don't get accepted into the A-team, mom does not call the coach. I have to sit with that disappointment and feel it. How can I ever develop sensitivity for other people's needs if I've never lacked for anything? If I've always been pushed forth in my life despite, you know, my imperfections, I've always been able to compensate with them under the protection of my almighty parent or almighty money. How in the world will I develop the sensitivity for people who don't have that? Challenge in life is not a bad thing. That's how we develop independence. I don't have to, as a parent, make my kids' day pleasant all day, every day. I don't have to be afraid of their bad moods. I don't have to be afraid of their challenge. I don't have to be afraid of what they're going through if it's not exactly ideal. That's their journey. And that's, for me, like a real important theme that we often don't explore here in the community, is our job as parents is not to cotton wool our kids from any challenge. It's not our job. That raises a fragile, weak, cautious, boring individual. Our job is to take care of our kids and give them basic safety and take care of their basic needs, obviously, and give them lots of love and lots of boundaries so that they can navigate this world and find their own way and create their own journey, create their own story. Each one of us in this world was here to create a story, not a story that's going to turn into a movie necessarily, not a story that anyone has to know other than us, but it's our own journey. It's our own story. It's our own majestic journey through life from birth to death, in which we go through challenges and growth, so that by the time that we finish our journey here, we look back and we sit there saying, I've lived my part. I didn't avoid the pain in the world. If the point of life was being comfortable, then life is a mistake, because heaven is a much more comfortable place to be than life. Before we bring a child into this world, if we really are only bringing our child in for comfort and fun, might as well keep them in heaven. They were doing just fine over there. We don't come into this world for comfort. Comfort helps. Comfort makes the journey a little more pleasant, but that's not the goal. When someone tells you that their goal in life is owning a gorgeous car and living in a gorgeous mansion and having amazing holidays and just being popular and magnificent and healthy, that's great. But that's not the goal. When someone says health is everything, no, health is a great prerequisite for everything, but health is not everything. Health is not the goal. Health is a foundation upon, please God, you could build a meaningful, incredible life of impact and of growth and of goodness and of transcendence and of being the person we can be. But those are just foundations so that we can aim higher. But the goal is not comfort. The goal is living the purpose that Hashem, that God sent us into this world. We all sent here with a journey. And just like we're now in the Omer and we're counting the 49 days until we reach the top of the mountain, we reach Sinai. That's what it is. Each and every day we're showing up and we're counting the day, making the day count. And slowly but surely we get closer to the summit and we are able to live the reason God sent us. Each one of us is different. Each one of us has our own purpose and our own journey, but not for selfish reasons. It's not about me self-actualizing myself, but rather me fulfilling the purpose that I'm sent here to do. But if all I'm craving my whole life is just being comfortable and safe and never doing something that's a bit risky and pushing me out of my comfort zone, then I'll never actually be able to actualize myself. I'll live a life with very unactualized potential. And again, the reason to actualize ourselves is not for selfish reasons so that I could say I'm successful and that someone could say at my funeral, oh, this person was so productive. It's because that's the purpose. The purpose is God gives us a toolkit of skills and weaknesses and personality and family support or unsupport. He gives us the whole setup of life, and then he says, go run. Make it into something. Build something out of it. So ask yourself, next time you're about to control, you know, what your kid's going to do at the age of 25, ask yourself, at what stage is me stepping back and letting them trip and fall and fly the greatest act of giving I could possibly do? And am I holding on to my kid just because I can't find purpose beyond being a father or mother? And therefore, I'm sabotaging their need for independence for the sake of my need of purpose? Or am I allowing them to fly? I literally believe that's one of the most consequential decisions and questions we could ask ourselves in this community, in any community. That balance between safety, comfort, and control on one side, and freedom, independence, and the ability to chart our own course on the other. It's a very binary choice. And God, and I believe life itself, turns to us and asks, what are you going to choose? This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul. Have a great week. God bless you all. Shavuot Tov.